turning to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, it's on page 1177 in your pew Bibles. We turn again to the armour of God. Let's read from God's Word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Amen. This is the word of God. Let's pray before we turn to it, and then the boys and girls can leave. Holy Spirit, we ask that as we come into your presence and still ourselves, that you would illuminate our minds to understand your word. Open our hearts to let it be etched on it, and take up your servant's words, that, Lord, you would be glorified and your name be lifted high in everything said in this sermon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So tonight we continue our series on the armour of God, and we move on to another piece. As we've been doing each evening, we've been looking at one of the pieces of armour, at first on the individual perspective, what that piece means for each one of us and our walk with God, and then the following week in the corporate perspective, and as what it means for us as a church, for us as a body of Christ in this place. And so tonight, we move on to our fourth piece of armour. We move on to what really is the first piece of equipment in the armour of God. And in fact, it's a piece of equipment that Matthew Henry has no reservations in saying is more necessary than any of the rest of them. I don't really think Paul would 100% agree with that statement. Basically, because if you look at verse 11, or verse 13 actually, Paul says, take up the whole armour of God. But certainly, nevertheless, despite the fact that we're supposed to wear all this armour, the shield of faith is important. Very important. Faith is a vital, vital aspect in the Christian life. It's by grace, through faith, we are saved. Look at Ephesians 2 and 8. It's by faith we live the life in this flesh. Galatians 2:20. We walk by faith and not by sight. And there are umpteen other examples throughout the Bible where we have our eyes and ears firmly open to see that faith is important. Faith is, as Henry puts it, everything, most especially in the hour of temptation. And so tonight, as we turn to look at the piece of armour, the shield of faith, let us pay heed. Because as Lloyd Ogilvie said, we cannot survive in spiritual warfare without our shield of faith. So let's look at this equipment. Paul states in verse 16, in all circumstances, or in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Paul calls us to move from the pieces of armour that by all means are already fitted on the soldier. If you look at the language in your translation, in NIV there, the previous three pieces are in past tense. They've been fitted on us. We get up in the morning fitted with the breastplate of righteousness, fitted with the shoes of the gospel of peace, ready to go into the world, and fitted with that belt of truth. Yet we are to take up our shield. And so Paul is trying to point us to the next three parts, the parts that are the pieces we need to, especially in temptation, pick up, take up, put on. And when Paul is speaking of a shield, maybe there's some of us now, in today's day and age, don't really grasp what he's getting at. I'm sure most of you understand what a shield is. But the shield that Paul is talking about is a really specific one. We've seen in the previous pieces of armour how Paul seems to be using the imagery of a Roman soldier. And the Roman soldiers were famed for their shield, especially the legionaries. They were famed for this shield called the scutum, which was a big door-like shield. It was about a meter and a quarter high, and it was about 3/4 of a meter wide. It was a massive shield, something a bit like a door. And actually, the Greek word that Paul uses here is derived from the Greek word for a door. So Paul clearly has the Roman legionary in mind when he says, take up your shield. But there's a purpose for the shield. Every shield in the ancient world had a reason. It was a big thing that someone would carry and take with them for a purpose. They didn't just decide, you know what, I really fancy lumping this big thing with me. It had a purpose. The shield in any ancient battle was designed to absorb the blow of the enemy. To absorb it, to take it, to stop it hurting the soldier. And this shield of faith is our tool to absorb the attacks. Look at what Paul says. Its use or its purpose is to extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. And so, Paul draws on this image of the Roman legionary. In fact, if you look into the Roman soldier's shield, it was very special indeed. It wasn't just that the shield was a big door-sized shield. It was made very, very special. Inside were two pieces of wood stuck together. And on top of them was linen wrapped over it, followed by probably leather or some kind of animal hide. And then the tops and bottoms were wrapped with steel, riveted onto it, holding this kind of shield sandwich all together. But what made it special? Unlike any other shield in the ancient world, was the fact that being covered in all that meant that when the Roman soldier held his shield up and the flaming arrows of the enemy, which were a common tool in the ancient world, came towards them, unlike a wooden shield, which when it hit would catch fire, leather takes longer to burn. And in fact, could be dipped in water or covered in water so as it wouldn't burn. And so, quite literally, the Roman shield was used to extinguish fiery arrows. And so, having that in mind, Paul uses this image of that Roman shield, which covers almost everything of the soldier, which extinguishes fiery arrows, to say this: take up your shield of faith. For Paul, the great shield for the Christian is their faith. And so tonight, brother and sister in Christ, I want you to realize that the thing that shields you from attack, the key tool in your defense, is your faith. And this is not just Paul's idea. If you turn to 1 John 5 and 4, you'll read, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world: our faith. Let me read that again. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world: our faith. For John and for Paul, it's clear that in order to overcome, in order to withstand the attacks of the devil, the Christian needs faith. It is our faith that helps us stand firm. And after all, what is the armor of God there for? If you look at Ephesians 6, verse 11, verse 13, the one thing that often is repeated by Paul regarding this armor is its purpose. He says in verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Our armor, therefore, is to help us stand firm. And the key piece of armor to do that is our faith. The key tool to help us stand against the devil's schemes is our faith. And so, our faith is like a shield. It's what protects us. It's what covers us. It's what helps us in every time and trouble. As Henry so beautifully puts it, faith is like a shield, a kind of universal defense. And so, brother and sister in Christ, I want you to see tonight that it is our faith that protects us in this, our spiritual warfare. It is the shield of faith that we are to stand beside or behind, because our faith is our shield. Now, that may sound really simple, and like I'm telling you to suck eggs tonight, but that's really important to grasp here. For Paul, our faith is our shield. And so, in order to continue on in our battle, standing firm against the devil's schemes, we need our faith and we need our shield. But the second thing we see
If you turn back to Ephesians 6 and 16, or 6 and 16, what does Paul call us to do? He says, in all circumstances, or with all, take up the shield of faith. Paul says, in all times, at all times, take up the shield of faith. What Paul wants us to realize is there's an onus on us to do something. It's important to see something tonight with the shield of faith, with the helmet of salvation, with the sword. The soldier had to take them. The soldier, when he woke up, would have been donned in the breastplate, in the belt, and the shoes. He would have put them on immediately to go and maybe go to the canteen or whatever the ancient soldier was doing. But it was when they went into warfare, they were called to do something else. Take up the tools of warfare. They were called to hold on to their shield, to keep on their helmet, and to take out their sword. These items of the armor are things that we have a role in. And so tonight, what we must understand is that yes, our faith is a shield, but it's a shield that we must take up. It's a shield that we must bear up to protect ourselves. Now, I'm going to be very clear tonight. Because usually, if you've ever podcast a sermon on this, or if you ever have heard a sermon on this, usually this is the point where the pastor or preacher will turn to you and say to you, have you taken up your shield? It's a good question, an important question, and I'm not going to labor on it. I haven't gone crazy, don't worry. Because there's a problem with that approach. A major problem with that approach. And it's this. That although we're called to take up our shield of faith, and we are, the problem is this. That when the preacher or the pastor or whoever takes us to task on our shield not being up, it usually follows suit that it's this. Your defense against the devil is your faith, so take it up. So therefore, brother and sister in Christ, if you've been wounded, if you are hurting, if you are feeling in the battle, take your shield up more. Believe more. Believe more in the Lord. And I'm not denying that that's important. But I fear that for many of us, that we've been wounded in our battle. For one reason or another, we've been wounded. And many of us struggle. And to be told to lift your shield higher, just believe more, doesn't help. Because the truth of the matter is that your shield of faith, our faith, cannot be mustered up by us. Yes, we're told to examine our faith. We're told to look and see, and I indeed want you to ask yourself the question tonight, are you taking up your faith in all circumstances? But I want you to realize that the way to have more faith is not to believe and believe and have stronger belief. Because the problem with that is your faith then looks to you and not to where it should do. Because that leaves you leaving this place saying, I must try harder. And that will never, ever help you take up your shield. I was struck whilst preparing for this when I came across a book, a little book by a guy called Ian Hamilton. It's called A Faith-Shaped Life. He wrote this. Faith is basic and absolutely essential to authentic Christianity. But When many Christians think about faith, their tendency is to think first about the quality of their faith. Am I being faithful? Am I not faithful enough? Do I pray enough? Do I not pray enough? Have I got my shield lifted up? And not about the object of their faith. This leads to a skewing of the Christian life. And so tonight, although our faith is a shield and we need to take it up, in order to do so, we shouldn't focus on our strength or our weaknesses of our faith, but rather what our faith is in. Maybe an analogy will help a little bit. If you'll stick with me for a second, imagine the Roman soldier as he stood there before a horde of barbarians firing their fiery arrows, swooping through the sky towards him. Did he stand there like this, going, "My strength will withstand these arrows"? No. Not even when he lifted up the shield and held it did he go, "You know, I really hope the strength of my arm will do all the chore that's necessary here." The faith of the Roman soldier to withstand the attack and withstand the arrows was not in his strength, was not even in his arm strength, but was in the shield. The faith of the soldier, the Roman soldier, was in that shield that was more than capable, even more than capable, to withstand the fiery darts. And that is true for us also tonight. Brother and sister in Christ, I want you to realize something. Our faith is our shield, but our faith is in our shield. Now, I'm not just playing some wordplay. Listen to these words from Genesis 15 and verse 1. This is how God reveals himself for a second time to Abram. And he says this: "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield." We also see in Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist saying this: "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge." And so, brother and sister in Christ, I want you to leave tonight asking that question: do you lift up your shield? Yes, ask that of yourself. But I'm not asking you to muster up more strength to take up your shield. I'm asking you to take up your shield because you've got faith in it. To focus your heart on the shield that you take up. Because, and I'll say it again, our shield of faith is faith in our true and living shield. And who is that? None other than the Lord God. The God whose promises and truths are the very belt that binds us as soldiers in Christ. The God who forged and made that breastplate of righteousness that you and I have. The God whose gospel of peace has been preached onto us and brought us into a relationship with him. The very gospel of peace that we go and share in the world. In other words, brother and sister in Christ, if you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, "Yes, by the Spirit I see that I haven't really been living a life of faith. I haven't been taking up my shield. I've been trusting in myself. If you're here this morning, Alistair spoke on it a million times better than I'm going to. I'm not going to retell that soil tonight. If you are here, and by the Spirit of God you're being challenged on whether you're taking up your shield of faith, I want to encourage you to take it up. But that doesn't mean you go home and you wish that you believe more. It doesn't mean that you try harder, because that is not faith. That is trusting in yourself. And that will end up getting you in a place of guilt, because you'll fall again. You'll be wounded again. Hamilton himself goes on to say this: undoubtedly, one of the devil's greatest stratagems in warfare is to turn the Christian in upon him or herself. You know those fiery darts that Paul talks about? The ammunition of the devil? The best and most effective darts are the most subtle ones. If you remember back in Genesis, what did the devil do when he caused Adam and Eve to fall? Did he come along and say, by the way, guys, like, this God guy, he's rubbish. Come and follow me. No. The first thing he did was he took Adam and Eve and he said, did God really say? And the truth tonight, brother and sister in Christ, is devil's fiery darts are usually things like, I know God said, but did he really say? Did he really mean for you? I know God said that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he'll take transgressions from you if you repent of them. But you know, your sin is too big for that promise. His subtle lies, he's called the father of lies, are the very darts he will fire at you. And the sad truth, I fear, is that for many of us, when the devil attacks with those trite comments, with those doubts and deceptions aimed at destroying us, what we do is we go and we say, Lord, I need to pray more. I need to read my Bible more. And what, instead of donning the armor of God, instead of lifting our shield, what we do is we make some kind of papier-mâché protection. We use our own strength. We use our own might. I'll read my Bible 10 times this week, Lord. I will pray more to you, Lord. I'll go to church more. And the problem with that is that it's all dependent on us. And so tonight, what I am asking you to do is not go home and try more. Is not go home and build yourself your armor. This is not Blue Peter. I noticed that only certain people understood that joke. There's a generational gap there, but anywho. What I am saying to you tonight is that your shield of faith is faith in your true and living shield, the Lord. We are called, Hebrews 12, 2, to do what? Fix our eyes upon the Lord, the author and founder of our faith. Do you realize, brother and sister in Christ tonight, that this armor that you want to wear, the reason you can have faith, the reason you can trust God when He says things in His Word, those very truths that we belt ourselves with, is because the armor of God is forged by God Himself. The reason we can have faith in the shield is because our Lord God is true to His promises. Your shield of faith is not based on how much you can do, but based on what He's already done. Your shield of faith is not based on how many times you pray, how much you read the Bible, although praying and reading the Bible are important, but rather on the one who forged them. In a true sense, God forged your armor to withstand any attack, so the devil's lies can bounce off it. Because that truth that binds your belt together, that binds you together and readies you, is from the Lord. His truths will come to pass. They are not lies. The breastplate that you have was not made by yourself, but given and gifted to you, brother and sister in Christ. When you asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins, He took what Christ had forged on the cross and He placed it upon you. His righteousness, not yours. That gospel of peace that you put on your feet is a gospel paid for in His blood and made by Him, not just made up by the church. And that shield of faith you have is forged by the Lord. You can't force it to be bigger. It doesn't need to be. You can't force it to be stronger. It's already strong enough. That shield of faith you have is made and forged by the Lord. But if I can give you a word of caution, when I ask you, or when Paul tells you to take up that shield, there is an onus. Why we are doing this in conjunction with the Holy Spirit is because if this is armor forged by God, you and I can't put it on by ourselves. You're maybe sitting here tonight saying, "Jonathan, okay, these are lofty goals, but I can't do it. I can't have faith like that." You're right. You can't. None of us can. That faith doesn't come from ourselves. That faith comes from the Spirit of God opening us. In a true sense, the God-forged armor is put on by our great armor bearer, the Holy Spirit. Alistair's made that clear before. This armor can't be donned by ourselves. You can't just muster it up. You can't just read a bit more of your Bible, go to another Bible class, turn up at church more, and magically be donned in this armor. You need to be open to the Spirit placing it upon you. And so if anything you can take away tonight, my request, plea, whatever you want to call it, is this. If you feel challenged that you're not ready for the war and you can't keep the armor on, your shield of faith is dropped, your breastplate feels tarnished, you don't trust your helmet, your belt is a wee bit squiffy, for want of a better term. Not a biblical one, but yeah. A Johnny Boyd one. Go home. Fall on your knees and plead to the God who forged it that the Holy Spirit would dawn you at it. Ask the Holy Spirit to equip you for the battle. I'm going to tell you something about a family. I didn't meet them, but I had a friend in Argentina, a girl from Switzerland, who came across with me on the project we were doing, and we all lived with families, and she lived with a family. When she first arrived, we didn't have great Spanish, any of us, and so she thought this family she lived with was bonkers. And every morning, they said a few words in Spanish and started to pretend to put clothes on. They pretended to put clothes on at the dinner table. And eventually, her Spanish got better, and she still thought they were a wee bit weird because they were now praying together and putting on the armor of God every morning. By the time she spent 6 months with them, she realized something. That this family, whilst it's not necessarily the method, I'm not telling you to go home and every morning pretend to put on the armor of God. That's not the means. But the mentality that lay behind it was important. That family, together as a family, saw that the day they faced was a day in battle with the spiritual forces around them. And a day that they were unprepared for unless the Holy Spirit donned them in their armor. They realized that every day, in all circumstances, they needed to take up that shield. Because otherwise, they would get a wound or be marred or be tarnished by those sneaky little darts of the devil. And the rest of their day and the rest of their life would be marred by dragging along their legs, unable to preach the gospel of truth to others and share the good news because their guilt that the devil put in them and threw back at them meant that they would look back at a moment which God has forgotten because they asked forgiveness for. And they would question how they had lived. Brother and sister in Christ, Paul was able to say with true honesty, I forget what is behind me and press on towards my goal. Why? Because his faith was in the armor that he had. His faith was in the God that had donned and made his armor and the Spirit that put it on him. He didn't have to look at himself, but look out to the Lord. And so I want to leave you with this thought tonight. Maybe you are here. Maybe you've been wounded in the spiritual war. You feel like you can't keep going. Yes, you're a Christian, but each day feels like that besetting sin, or that troubling moment, or that regret over the thing you should have said to that person holds you back. You are wounded and limping, and your shield has fallen. I want to tell you, take up your shield, but not in your own strength. Turn your eyes to the God who forged it. The Father God who gave you each and every piece. Ask the Holy Spirit to don you in it daily. And remember this. What is the purpose of all this armor? Is it so as you can go and conquer the world? That you can bring the kingdom of light? Is it so as you will have the power to do that? You may. And it might happen. But that's not what Paul says. Paul tells us that this armor is to do what? Stand firm. Brother and sister in Christ, you know what your calling is? Firm faithfulness to the Lord. Because something has already happened. If you remember back to the story of David in 1 Samuel 17, when he faces Goliath, you'll remember that Goliath comes out and he stands in front of all the armies of Israel and declares aloud that no one is greater than he. The God of the Israelites is weak and he will destroy them all. He challenges someone to come to him. He calls for a hero, a champion of Israel, to come and fight him. And oftentimes in ancient wars, that was what happened. Armies came together. They didn't want to kill each other at first. They sent a champion out. A champion would go in front of the army, fight the other champion, and the winner would be the winner. And they'd chase down each other to take the spoils. Brother and sister in Christ, I want you to know something. We already have a champion. You're not called to defeat the kingdom of darkness. It's already defeated. The devil will fire arrows at you because it's his last ditch attempt to take everyone with him. Because Jesus Christ, our champion, has won the war already. He fought the main battle. He died and destroyed Satan. He's crushed his head and Satan is thrashing. And so, brother and sister in Christ, what I want you to see tonight is, yes, take up your shield of faith. But take it up knowing that it's forged by God. Your faith is in God, not in you. That God forged your shield. That by the Holy Spirit, you can be donned in it as he is your armor bearer. And knowing this, the victory's already won. Because your champion Christ has won it. So go home. Pray that God will help you wear that armor. Know that you're in war, already won. And fix your eyes upon the God who is our shield, who is our champion, who will don you in what you need for those times of trial and temptation. And let us take up our shield of faith, not in our own strength, but from the strength that comes from God. Let us pray. Father God, we pray that in all that's been said, your truth would sink down deep in our hearts. Help our eyes to be fixed upon you, that we would trust in you and not in our own strength. Don us in your armor and knowledge that you've already won the war for us. And so, Lord, as we're ministered to in worship and word, speak into our hearts. Holy Spirit, bed something into us.